This video is brought to you by Holocasa. Our tool transforms independent local real estate agents to global real estate agents. Create your own profile for free and get contacted by international investors. Sign up with the link in the description. Hello and welcome everyone to our 116th session of Holocasa. My name is Michael and today I'm talking to Aziz Shabazz from Chicago in Illinois in the United States. Aziz is a highly sought, top producing realtor, personal business financial coach in the Chicagoland area. He has been in real estate for almost 2 decades and is a licensed realtor for over 8 years. He's also leading a team of 60 plus agents in the area. And I'm very happy to have you on the show, Aziz, today. You're the first person from Chicago. I'm really looking forward to the conversation that you also tell us a little bit about the area, about Chicago itself. And also, first and foremost, give us an introduction.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Michael. I want to say thank you first and foremost for inviting me on the call. We are a long way away, but technology brought us very close today, right? It's definitely a pleasure to be the first one from Chicago to be on your show. It's always better to be first at doing everything. So I'm patting myself on the back about that. I'm taking that as a win.
Perfect. Absolutely. I really like the attitude. How did everything start? You're already 20 years in the real estate business. First and foremost, like, what made you go into real estate? Was it a passion from the early age? Or was there a certain moment when you said, you know what, that's the time when actually I'm going to follow through on my calling?
I don't know if it was a passion from a young age, but I saw my aunt actually buying property. And she was really the only one that I knew that was buying property. But she would always tell me, like, make sure that my credit is in order, you know, buy you some property, buy a house, buy an investment property. And she didn't have a whole lot of, you know, expertise in it, but I saw it. And then as I grow up and then you hear about other people say, oh, he's got a building or he's got property. And you just kind of hear things about it. And people are like kind of highly regarded because they own property or several properties. And I think that kind of piqued my interest. When I bought my first property, it was honestly, yeah, because I wanted to buy property and I knew that could build you wealth. But it was mainly because I was ready to buy a house, but I realized, you know, bills are still, they still stack up and I could buy an apartment building, live in one unit and rent the other unit and make it a whole lot easier for myself, be able to save money. And that's really where I got started in real estate.
Makes total sense. And then from there, you basically, the first property was directly in the area of Chicagoland, or did you buy it somewhere else?
Yeah, so right outside of Chicago, actually. So literally like 5 or 10 minutes outside of Chicago. So I bought my first property in Broadview, Illinois. It's a small suburb right on the outskirts. And that was my first property. And then my second property I bought in Maywood, Illinois, which is right there as well. So my two first properties were literally about a 7-minute drive to each other. So I kept them kind of close because I was managing everything at the same time too. So I wanted something that was close in proximity. So if I had to run back and forth to these different properties, I was cutting the grass, I was shoveling the snow, you know, I was doing everything in the beginning. So it would have been, if I had to drive 40 minutes or an hour to the next property, then that wouldn't have been as convenient.
Makes total sense. That was to get an idea of the price increase. That was in which year and which price did you pay and which price would you now sell?
That was, this is 2023. That was about 2000, mm-hmm. 2000, 2001, 2002, something like that. Yeah.
And give us an overview directly. I know we're jumping directly into the...
I'm sorry. I'll go back. That was actually probably 2010. I'm thinking 2010-ish. Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Okay. What has been the price increase like in percentage around what you basically bought right now? How much could you sell for right now?
Oh, man. I mean, for instance, one of those properties I bought at about, I think it was like $99,900 or something like that. That same property right now, it's probably 350, 350K
Wow.
American dollars. But see, I bought those properties too. Like I said, that was around, so yeah, that had to have been around 2000, maybe around like the 2008, 2009
Yeah.
marker, because the market tanked around that time. And that's when I bought it. So I wasn't at the bottom of it, but I bought almost at the bottom before it started going back up. Right.
Very well
So I
done.
bought very, very cheap on those properties. So it's a massive, it was a massive upswing.
Got it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Jumping from your personal experiences and also jumping into real estate to the Illinois area, Chicagoland area in general. Give us an overview of Chicago, Chicagoland. How can basically someone understand it properly? Someone who has never been there. Chicago is directly, which lake is it again? Lake Erie?
Michigan,
It's May Lake
Michigan.
Michigan. You see how ignorant I
Yeah.
am. So maybe we can start from there,
For you
from
to
the
even know that though, like for you to even know, like you could ask me something about London or where I wouldn't, a lake, I wouldn't know.
I still have the aspiration to sort of know and maybe be even like a bit, little bit prepared for this podcast to know a little bit about
True, true,
the geo.
true.
I was actually very sure that I know that's Lake Michigan, but now you cut me off guard. So give us an overview of all the areas and also maybe the neighborhoods and trendy neighborhoods where you also think maybe some interesting investment opportunities are there, maybe inside Chicago, but also suburb-wise. How can we imagine this market right now?
Yeah. I mean, so, and it just depends on the individual and what they're looking for, right? Chicago is pretty big, as you know. Right. So we have the north side of Chicago, right? You have the south side of Chicago. You have the west side of Chicago, right? There's really no east side of Chicago, but they kind of call it over east, right? And it's different pockets. And where you depend, where you want to move or where you feel like might be trendy for you, it could be different for someone else, right? You want to kind of like, if you want like more like upscale type of living, right? You might be north side, right? Or some of the north neighborhoods, right? But if you might be near south, right? Like a Bronzeville area, right? That's a prominent
And
area where there's some wealth as well.
north side, you're talking about like Waukegan,
No, so
to
that's gonna be far north suburbs, right?
okay.
But see, the city itself of
Oh,
Chicago has a
okay.
north side,
So you
has
mean Evanston? Is it down or Oak
a
Park?
that's even a see that so Chicago is kind of weird because it's all one big city, but the neighborhoods have individual names. So if you were coming from another city and you certain and most maps would just say Chicago is one big city. But you do have maps where, like for example, the maps that we use as real estate agents, it will break down these pockets because even these little pockets within the city are neighborhoods. Like I mentioned, the Bronzeville area, that's a neighborhood, but it's still really just the city of Chicago.
Got it. I
Yeah,
see.
yeah. So when you get out further, you start seeing those names like Waukegan and Evanston. Those are actually suburbs outside of the city, but even the neighborhoods have names as well. So it's, I remember when I first learned that when I was younger, so this is weird.
I understand. No, it totally makes sense. I have to zoom in more. So we have like Lincoln Square, Lakeview, Edgewater. It's like
Exactly.
the entire area towards Edgewater. That's like prime location. Lincoln Park
Yeah.
near north side, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, you're gonna get higher prices in that area. So if you got like maybe a certain type of individual that's looking for more of like upscale, like a different type of community, a lot of individuals that are, in corporate America might be there as well. That's going to be an area that's more expensive and harder to get into, right? You got to have a certain amount of income to move in that area, or be gifted some money as well.
I understand. And that's really the prime location. And then obviously you also have like the city center directly at the Chicago C Theater, the near north side, I assume. Like this is all
So
around.
you're gonna be downtown. That's you're downtown at that point. Magnificent Mile, Michigan Avenue. Yeah, you're close to the lake. You get some high rise buildings there, some condos, right? And you got all different walks of life that move to the condos as well, the high rises, because they might be one bedrooms or two bedrooms, but they could be just expensive as a house, but still cheap enough for someone to, with a moderate income, to be able to still purchase. But it's going to be less square footage.
Got it. In all that Chicagoland area with your 60 agents, which area are you covering?
So, I mean, and not all of my 60 agents are in Illinois, right? So we got agents in Florida, we got agents in Georgia, we got agents in Massachusetts. Right. So we got agents in California. We got agents that's kind of spread out as well. Now, probably the majority are in Illinois, but some cover north side of Chicago, some cover more south side of Chicago, west side. But you got those agents that drive, and they'll drive within an hour's mile radius. And then we have agents that cover the north suburbs or the south suburbs or the west, near west, or the far west suburbs as well. Being a real estate agent, for a lot of real estate agents, it's wherever their wheels, the car wheels will take them,
Got it.
within a decent amount of time. But you do have people that just cover the downtown area, because maybe they live in downtown. They don't necessarily have a car. They Uber everywhere or walk everywhere or take the bus everywhere, and they'll just stick to those specific areas.
Makes total sense. So basically, you are covering all that area. You're an expert on all this area. Now, talking about you mentioned a very good thing about public transport and also Ubering and or car. How is that in comparison? Is it more like a city like Los Angeles where you sort of need a car, or is it more like New York where you are fine by public transport? How can someone imagine basic commuting in Chicago?
Well, individuals that live downtown, they really don't have cars, right? And another reason is because you have to pay for parking, right? It's probably not included if you're renting down there, or so you have to pay for a parking spot. There's higher traffic. There's more traffic, so they can find themselves getting around a lot quicker on a bike or an Uber or a bus or train or public transportation. So you got individuals that don't have a car at all, and they're perfectly fine.
Totally,
But
yeah.
when you kind of live like more outside of just the downtown area, then you'll probably have a car to so you can get around a little bit more. Especially when you get into the suburbs further out, you're definitely gonna have a car.
Yeah, perfect. Makes total sense. You gave us an overview on the real estate, like the premium area right now towards the north. Is there, so basically I can imagine like the entire premium section is around the lake and then always towards the center. Is there any other basically like premium location where you where we would need to be aware of, where you say, okay,
Well,
this is
you got locations like that's not in the city, like Oak Park. Okay. So Oak Park is right outside of the city.
Okay.
Okay. Because not everyone wants to be in the hustle and bustle of downtown, but they kind of want to be in close proximity where they can get downtown in 10 minutes. They can take the hop on the metro train, Amtrak, and just take the train right downtown. They don't want to be too far out on the
Yeah.
outskirts. But Evanston is a prime area. So you mentioned Evanston. Evanston is a prime area. The suburbs that's up and around that area, right at the end of Lakeshore Drive, that's a prime area. Bronzeville, but that's kind of like right there in the city.
Yeah.
You got some Chatham area, but that's still kind of in the city. But then you got some south suburbs that are a little bit further out, might be the equivalent to Evanston, but just on the in the opposite direction. right? You got some south suburbs there where people are kind of moving to stay close to the city, but you know, not have downtown prices or north side prices, but it still be affordable in a good neighborhood as well, because you got parts of the city that are not so good, and you got parts of the city that are very good. So you can move to a city location, maybe the west side of Chicago and some and parts of the south side of Chicago as well, that will be more close in proximity to downtown, but the neighborhood might not be, it might be a higher crime rate, might not have some of the resources that's wanted or needed. So an individual opt to move to a outskirts suburb to get a better neighborhood, better price, or and a little bit more higher than some of the, you know, more areas that are more depressed, I would say. It's kind of like a good combination for them to still have proximity.
Makes total sense. I looking at the map, why is that? Maybe I don't know if you can answer this question, but the entire east side towards Michigan City, like from Cheston onwards, I see like just less urban areas while the expansion has been going more like west and south. Even like down to on the other side, like Stevensville, Benton Harbor. I am ignorant and I just look at the map. I'm like, well, I also have directly, I'm also at the lake. Maybe I get something prime
Yeah,
here
you're
with a
getting up towards
discount.
Indiana. You're getting up towards Indiana. So you kind of like southeast, right? You're getting up towards Indiana over there. So you're getting like further out towards like from the resources, right? From because downtown is the hub, right? Like centrally, downtown is the hub of like kind of where all the business flows. So now you're getting further and further out. Now, if someone wants to kind of stay near those resources, stay near the restaurants and near the nightclubs and near the events that happen downtown Chicago, where you're getting further and further out when
Got
you're
it.
getting over into Indiana as well.
So there's no state, maybe like something's like regulatory state differences where you say, okay, no, I don't want to buy in Indiana. I definitely still want to buy in Illinois. That doesn't have any implication. It's basically rather the proximity than anything else.
Yeah, it's going to be proximity. Now, some people are going to Indiana because Indiana has cheaper prices and they have lower taxes. So you do have people that are relocating to Indiana. But that's going to be kind of someone's preference
Got it.
if they want to, you know, cross that border. Now, I'm not licensed in Indiana, right?
Okay,
So I
interesting.
don't do any business in Indiana. I'm primarily Illinois. But
Okay.
you do have some people going that way and thinking about buying investment properties that way, et cetera.
Makes sense. Makes
But
sense.
you know, a lot of individuals, what I've seen from clients and you know, from people that have been living here, they tend to want to stay where, you know, near where they grew up. They tend to want to stay where their like family is located. They want to be kind of close because for one, it's comfort. For two, it's support if they need to run over to the family's house and check on them, if they need a babysitter, et cetera. You know, it's that convenience will sometimes trump purchase price or budget because it could cost them inconveniences in other ways. So people tend to like to stay kind of where they kind of grew up.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes total sense. Regarding trendy neighborhoods, do you have any tips where you think like there's definitely some room for price appreciation inside Chicagoland, somewhere around where you say, okay, this is actually still there's still definitely some space for good deals, any.
Well, I mean, if prices continue to go up the way they're going up now, there's always going to be some appreciation, right? Now, some people are looking for like low priced houses. Well, you should look at potentially doing fix and flips, right? Things that you might be able to get on the lower end of the side, some bank owned properties, right? That might in areas where you already have some appreciation there. Or you know, it, that's kind of like some forced appreciation because you rehab the property and you pushed up the value, right? But you know, pretty much all the markets I'm seeing are having an increase in value to some degree. Now you got some that are still like a little bit of a standstill, like for instance, like an area like Harvey, right? Dalton. Those are kind of areas where it's more of a depressed area, right? It's not the best of area for someone to move in, but this is what I've seen over the last 10 years. Like the areas where no one wanted to move, now people can't afford to move in those areas, right? So like if somebody might say, well, why would you tell somebody Harvey or Dalton? Like it's not the greatest area over there, right? Why would you tell somebody those areas? Because I've seen how areas have. I used to have people that would call me and say, Aziz, I want any of these areas, but I don't want that area. And I say, okay, no problem. And I would, and this would be repetitive amongst clients. And then it started, and then one, like, I won't say one day, but it was like in a matter of like a month, it was people saying, Aziz, any area, but that area, I don't want that area. And then we look and there's nothing there. And then they go back and they say, okay, well, what about the area I said I didn't want? And we'll find them something there, right? Okay. Then that started happening. They would look in those other areas they wanted, but then they would revert back to the area that they said they didn't want. But then another few months went past. And then it became, Aziz, I want any area but that area. So we would go through the process. We would look at all the areas. They would find nothing there. And then they said, okay, well, what about the area I said I didn't want? Now it became, there's nothing even available in that area that you didn't want. Now it became they gotta go even further out. They gotta reduce their criteria. So I've seen these areas that were not in demand become in demand and are expensive to get into. So I would tell people, look, trust that for one, that individuals that are buying homes, right? Even if they have to buy at a lower price, they are working individuals. They are responsible individuals. They are individuals that's going to care about their house. They're going to be individuals that care about their neighborhoods, right? And as these properties start getting turned over, someone passes away and the family sells it. Someone loses it to a foreclosure or taxes, and then someone buys it and rehabs, and here comes a new owner. The homeowners coming in will change how that neighborhood looks, feels, and operates. But you got to give it time.
Makes a lot of sense. Your service offerings. You are such an expert in all these areas inside the Chicagoland. Basically, give us an overview of what are you doing, who are you serving, and also maybe segment-wise, which type of property you're targeting the most.
Yeah, I mean, so we serve various different types of buyers, right? Single family, condo, townhome, multi-unit, commercial. You know, we business owners that want to buy retail stores, etc. We service all of those individuals, but primarily, I would say our biggest percentage of buyers is going to be first-time home buyers because they're just the biggest percentage. Anyway, right? Then you have your second time buyers from just from your referral, from your sphere, people that you've done business with in the past that come back around that even want to buy another house or sell their house, etc. Right? And then I think your second part of the question was you said who is our main?
Basically, you just answered this question, who is the main customer, but also properties, so property type I asked, and then
Oh yeah,
but you also
property
answered this
type.
question regarding like condos, first home buyers. This covers actually most of the things you just mentioned. You then also are an expert on guiding first home buyers throughout the process. How do you call again this for first home buyers, this subsidy or schema or support on the down payment? I think you only need like 3.5% on the FHC loan or mortgage
Yeah.
or
So it's the FHA.
FHA,
FHA.
exactly.
Yeah, so FHA loan, you only need 3.5%, 3.5% down of the purchase price. But in Illinois, we have a program called IDA. And then IDA, it offers down payment assistance. Right now, there's a program that offers assistance up to 10,000, right? And but it's not just for first-time home buyers either, right? So that program can, and most people don't know this, that program can actually be used for someone buying their second home as well, but it just cannot be, but they can only have one FHA loan at a time. So the first property that they have, you would want that property to be a conventional property, right? Or if they already had an FHA loan, to refinance that property into a conventional loan, so now they can use the IDA program on the second property, right? So that's a great program to help people. We've used it a lot to help people come to the closing table with little to no money.
That's very interesting. So basically, you're an expert on this one. You also help doing all these legal processes in order to be eligible for the FHA loan, for example.
Yeah, so we connect them with the lenders. So I have lenders that I work with. As a real estate agent, we don't do anything with the loan. We handle the real estate portion, negotiation, write the contract, etc. Connect individuals to our network to so that we can put together a team to be able to make the process very smooth. And but we connect the client to a lender that will help guide them through the loan process.
Got it. Makes sense. I have one follow-up question because you mentioned the conventional property or conventional unit. What is it exactly? Like, that's basically what you mean by once I paid the entire FHA loan, then it becomes a conventional one, or is it
No,
so?
two different types of loans. So FHA is basically a federally backed loan, right? Government says, hey, hey, Mr. Bank, if you lend this money to John and John can't pay it, don't worry about it. We'll pay you the money for it. We'll take on the house, right? So they're basically backing it because with an FHA loan, you can have a credit score of a 580, right? Versus a conventional loan, you might need a 650, 660, 670, right? With a conventional loan. So basically, because FHA is backing that, then the bank will take more risk when someone, because the goal is to get more individuals into home ownership.
Got it.
That's through the FHA program.
Got it. And then you were saying, okay, let them convert it from the FHA, so they basically have the cash, or they pay the mortgage, the FHA loan somehow, and then, or
So,
how do I convert it? That's my question. Sorry.
if someone has an FHA loan that they originally got on a house, right? When their score increases, if they were, below the requirement of a conventional loan, now their score has increased. Maybe they had the home for a year or more. There might be some equity in the property that is built up so that they don't have to come out of money when they refinance it. Right, because they're going to refinance it, and when they refinance it, they switch it and convert it into a conventional loan. Because basically, when you refinance, it's like you're buying a house from yourself again,
I
right?
understand.
So then you refi and then switch it into a conventional. That frees you up from FHA, and then now you have the potential opportunity to go after another property using the IDA loan or down payment assistance program.
I understand. So basically, that's if thank you so much for guiding me through that. Now I think like I'm finally understanding after so also so many podcasts with US Americans, and I'm acting always cleverly, but in the end I'm still like many times very lost. So basically you have the FHA loan, then you are like getting a better score because of good behavior, and then you're basically eligible for a conventional loan, which then allows you to refinance that with the conventional loan. Basically, also getting rid of the FHA loan in order to be eligible for the EIDL program, sort of, something like this.
Yeah, it's like the conventional loan pays off the FHA loan. Now you just got a conventional.
Got it. Makes total sense. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Tell me a little bit about the entire network. How have you built so many agents or such a network with so many bees flying around for you and you're working, or they're working for you?
So, and I wouldn't say that they're necessarily working for me. I look at everyone more as business partners, right? But how do you build that connection? I always say just being a human being, just making connections with people, right? Like, how do we connect and we're all the way across the world, right? Is just reaching out, right? And that's the same thing that we do, is reach out and let agents know that, there's a different way of doing business as a real estate agent. Here's some opportunity that they probably want to look at and take a look at. And then from there, they just make a decision. Do they like you? Right? It's the know, like, trust factor. Hey, how do I get to know, like, and trust this person? Well, get in front of them, have a conversation with them, right? And then if they like you as an individual, then maybe they'll take a look at what the business opportunity might look like to better themselves and their careers as a real estate agent. Now, once you build that rapport, and now they see the opportunity that they have as a real estate agent, and they like that, okay, well, then it becomes just a decision, right? And every agent, because I am with eXp Realty, so every agent at eXp has that same opportunity. Right. So I have 65 agents in my total organization. Right. But I didn't bring 65 agents to eXp. Right. So my 24 agents, because everyone has that same opportunity to build an organization or a team, I guess you could kind of call it, but we call it an organization. Right. If everyone has that same opportunity, then they can. Right, bring on agents as well. And then in conglomeration, that builds out the entire organization.
Proper alignment of interest and so that everyone basically is incentivized to collaborate and work together with
Exactly.
trustworthy and professional
It
individuals.
builds a culture of collaboration versus competition.
Perfect. So in practice, how does it work like? You share leads, maybe you share deals, you talk to each other, and then you also partner up. Is that most of it, or are there more things how you collaborate?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we get, for those that are local, right? We get together, we go to networking events, we do trainings. I sit down with individual realtors and I coach one-on-one, phone calls, Zooms, any form of interaction that can help to motivate someone, give them some tips, give them some training, help them get to the next level, because everyone can't get together in the same room sometimes. So, a quick way is jump on a Zoom. Maybe they don't want it. Maybe they just woke up and they haven't combed their hair or brushed their teeth or whatever. And just jump on a Zoom. Don't turn your camera on, because it's more important than anything is that you get the information
Got
so
it.
that you can apply it. That's what's
Yeah.
most important.
Makes total sense. Coming back to Chicagoland, why should people now invest?
Why should people invest in general?
Now in Chicagoland, in your area.
Oh, why should they invest in Chicagoland? Well, I mean, certain things never go out of style, right? Chicago is just one of those things. It's a great city. It's a tourist spot. You're gonna get people that it's not a tourist spot like the Bahamas or something like that. But people love to come to Chicago. We have one of the most beautiful skylines that's here. Always have great activities, concerts, and things of that nature. They're building an Obama Library here as well. So it's always going to be a spot where jobs are, where people come to visit. It's not the best weather, right, all year round, but it's good enough. And so I think Chicago will always be a good investment. But at the end of the day, regardless of how great Chicago is or pros or cons or whatever, it's all about the deal. You got to buy right. You got to buy right. It's got to make sense. It's either got to make you some money passively every month. It's got to have some equity in it. You could play the appreciation game as well, but the deal has to make sense. Because no matter where you buy, if you buy wrong, you could lose your shirt. Yeah.
Makes sense. Thank you so much for this entire overview of Chicago. I learned a lot. You gave us a very nice overview of Chicago itself, of the neighborhoods. We went very much into detail. Thank you so much for your patience for me regarding all the neighborhoods and also in the entire area along Lake Michigan. And you also gave us a very nice overview on your services and your basically expertise on how to buy, how to finance. And then in the end, you also gave us a very great insights on your network and how you build everything. So how can people reach out to you?
Yeah, so they can find me on Facebook. That's probably the best way to contact me. Find me at Aziz N, the letter N as in Nancy, right? Aziz N Shabazz, my name that you see on the screen. I probably have on a blue jacket, right? But also you can find like all of my information, my YouTube, you can find my Instagram, my email, everything at www.coachaziz.info. Okay, www.coachaziz.info. You can find all my information there.
Perfect. I will put those into the show notes so that people can directly click on the link and reach out to you. Is there anything we didn't cover and you would like to share with the audience?
Pretty much, I think we covered everything. I also have a financial coaching business that correlates directly with real estate, me being a real estate agent. So individuals that have gotten denied for loans to buy homes due to their credit. We also have a credit restoration, a credit repair program as well. We also do hard money lending for investors, for fix and flips, for multi-units, for commercial, for retail, shopping centers, plazas. We do that as well. So we can help individuals on the investment loan side, right? Not just the traditional loan side. I'll refer you out to one of my traditional lenders, like the FHA and the conventional that we were talking about. But the investment side, the hard money side, buying property in your business name and EIN number, I can help individuals with that as well.
Perfect. That sounds very good. Yeah, very interesting. Aziz, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for sharing all your expertise. I'm sending the best regards to Chicago and wish you a very nice afternoon.
Likewise, thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Bye. This video is brought to you by Holocaza. Our tool transforms independent local real estate agents to global real estate agents. Create your own profile for free and get contacted by international investors. Sign up with the link in the description.